Oh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Thank you, everybody, for being here. Make sure you like the stream. Make sure you subscribe to our channels. I guess I want to start by saying this. This is the biggest betrayal in any modern campaign for the past few decades. I mean, Donald Trump ran on a few key promises. No new wars. We all saw him say that. He even said he would end some wars on his first day. He said he would lower prices. He said inflation would be gone. He said a lot of things. And we know those are all not true. Inflation is worse. Unemployment is worse. Everything has gotten worse. But as it pertains to this specific conflict, this is a massive, massive betrayal, not only to his own base, but to the people that he promised months ago this would never happen to. So remember, about 6 months back, we struck Iran, and Donald Trump said that we had taken out all of their nuclear capabilities indefinitely, like forever. Their nuclear capabilities were done. That was a very clear lie at the time. It's very clear that they didn't do anything. And we don't even know if that's why they're striking now. There's a lot of ambiguity as to why this war is being started. But we do know that, as you said, it immediately sparked into a regional conflict where then Iran began to strike back at certain U.S. air bases, at certain U.S. naval bases in the Middle East. And now Israel and the United States are reportedly going to launch more joint coordinated strikes. So it's just a mess. It is not good for the United States. We should not be intervening and enacting regime change on behalf of other countries. Donald Trump then said in the middle of the night that some troops may have to die. He said broadly, he said, some people may die. That's what happens in war. And what he's missing is that this is an unforced war, an unforced error, where people my age, think about it, I'm 23 years old, I didn't go to college, or I dropped out of college, and not that it's about me, there's actual service members who are serving, whose lives are on the line, but as it pertains to a draft, when Stephen Miller is talking about a draft under Liz Cheney or Kamala, we'd be some of the first people to be drafted, and Donald Trump is gambling with our lives right now. I think it is disgusting, despicable, and not diplomatic.
Well, I got involved in politics when I was in high school and college protesting the Iraq war, which to me was an illegal war and sending people my age to go die. And I think now you're living through the exact same thing, Adam, which I don't blame you for. It's not about you or it's not about me, but like putting yourself in their shoes is a pretty reasonable thing. And I think particularly for young men in this country, young men turned hard towards Donald Trump in the last election away from the Democrats and Kamala Harris. And a lot of the reason why was because he promised that the job market was going to be repaired. Now the job market's been destroyed. There is no entry-level job market, thanks to AI and robotics, for vast majorities of people who are graduating from college, particularly young men. And then he said, I'm going to make sure you don't end up in a war. And now he started multiple wars. And so, and I think you make such an important point here, which is they struck Iran 6 months ago. They claim they destroyed their nuclear capabilities. They have a press release on their website right now that says anybody who questioned whether or not they actually destroyed Iran's nuclear capabilities was lying and part of the fake news media or whatever. And now they're out there with no justification for this action other than, to me, it seems like Bibi Netanyahu wanted it done. So what the hell are we doing now? And I keep coming back to Trump had a certain point to make that I think, you know, I don't like Trump. I didn't vote for him. I would never vote for him. He's a garbage human being. But there is something to be said about investing here in the United States, about taking actions that are in our best interest. So America First, as much as it's a dog whistle for, you know, racism with the president against immigrants, there's value to that that people bought into. And now it's, no, we're going to go attack Venezuela. We're going to do regime change in Venezuela so that we can get access to their oil fields on behalf of big oil companies. Hey, we're going to go into Iran now. We're going to essentially get, you know, young men killed. I mean, we're going to get, likely young women will be killed too. I want to be clear about that. But we're going to create all this instability, but they can't do anything about the economy. They can't do anything about inflation. They can't do anything to improve your life. And, you know, at the end of the day, where's Trump making money here too? That's the other question that I have, because he's been out there making deals all throughout the Middle East with Jared Kushner. And I just continue to think, like, what's the upside for him? Is he trying to turn Iran into another resort for him? It's probably what he wants to do.
Yeah, and I think it's really, really worth pointing out. First of all, Marcus Flowers, I saw
join. Yeah, what's up, Marcus?
What I think is really worth pointing out is that this did not have to happen. When Donald Trump took office during his first term, we had something called the JCPOA, which was a Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action. It was a nuclear deal where we could monitor Iran's nuclear capabilities. We could make sure we limit it. And Donald Trump tore up the JCPOA with no backup plan. It's kind of like what he tried to do with the ACA as well. Tear it up with no backup plan, just leaving a bunch of people like, what the absolute hell. So he tore it up, which then created this almost cyclical, perpetual striking pattern where now we have to continue. We don't have to, but Trump keeps striking Iran 6 months ago, striking again. We'll probably be fighting with them 6 months from now. I bet you a year and a half from now, Trump will still be striking, all because he tore this up. So I saw someone in chat get mad and say, like, Adam, why are you calling this unforced when Trump forced it to happen? What I'm saying is this is an unforced error in the sense that we didn't have to go to war. We didn't have to put lives on the line. We didn't have to maybe trigger a draft and get closer to World War III. All of this is unforced in the sense that it's an error that did not have to be made. But now Trump is intentionally striking them after, you know, a decade of being able to maybe come up with a framework that was, if he wants to say the JCPOA wasn't sufficient and wants to come up with a better framework, that's one thing. But that's not what they do. They tear up plans time and time again with no backup plan. It's kind of like, for another example, we have the ACA they tried to tear up, the JCPOA they tore up. There's a trade deal we had with South Korea called CORUS, where we had free trade with them. Obama had negotiated free trade with South Korea. They're our ally. Donald Trump placed like 30% tariffs on them, tore up the free trade agreement, and is now trying to strike a new trade agreement when we already had free trade. So it's sickening, and it's counterintuitive, it is regressive, and it is awful politics.
Well, and it's also, it's a good reminder of what the MAGA movement and Trump's presidency actually is. It's just a group of people with petty grievances and no meaningful plan to improve your life on any meaningful level. Even Trump overnight was posting on Truth Social that the reason he was attacking Iran was because they rigged the 2020 presidential election, because it always comes back to the idea that he could not possibly have been rejected by the American people in 2020. So I don't think that they really have much of a plan here. I'm sure that there's, and again, I said this before, but I think there's going to be some level of greed. There's going to be some level of theft at the end of this. Some way Donald Trump is planning on making money for him and for his people. But they don't have a plan. It was the same with Venezuela. They did not have a plan in Venezuela. They came in and they said, oh, we're doing this about, it's about drugs. It's, we're blowing up these they invented the term narco-terrorist, which is not a real thing. And then they're blowing up the boats. And I guess, you know, for a lot of people are like, okay, they're blowing up terrorists. Now they're removing the head of the country and they claim that they're freeing the people of Venezuela. And then what they ultimately ended up doing was they put Maduro's number two in charge, who's just as brutal as Maduro. And so then they left. So like all they're doing is creating chaos and then moving on. And what's going to happen here, in my view, is we won't know the real consequences of all of these actions for years, if not decades now. And then a future American president, likely a Democrat who always has to clean up Republican messes, will have to clean up whatever the fuck they've wrought here, because we're not going to know. And I should add here too, because I wrote it down, there are rumors that the Ayatollah is dead. Now, Israeli media is pushing that. I don't know how true or real that is. So like, let's wait until we get, I think, something a bit more credible there. There's also the rumor, the story that the U.S. bombed a school with, I think, about 50 kids. So like, again, I would advise people in this moment, as scary as this is, and this is obviously an abuse of Donald Trump's executive power, Congress needs to step in. Democrats need to step up in this moment, too. I'm seeing way too many mealy-mouthed statements from Democrats. I didn't particularly care for Akeem Jeffries' statement today. I think we've got to push hard to rein in executive power here. But everybody be careful with the news that you're getting today, because there's going to be a lot of propaganda spread from Iran, from Israel. And I don't trust a lot of the players here, including our own government, frankly.
Yeah. And that's why we're being very responsible with what we are reporting. Only things that have been double confirmed by like CNN in regards to retaliatory strikes.
We can still trust CNN after this week.
Yeah, definitely. Like very true. But the retaliatory strikes that Iran sent have been confirmed by multiple outlets. So those things are safe to report on.
I was just being a dick. I'm sorry.
No. You're totally right. I actually got the same advice from multiple people that said, be careful how you cover this today. There's going to be a lot of disinformation going around, a lot of stuff. So the onus is on us to be responsible and to make sure that we're saying things in a timely manner. But I want to read some tweets that are going super viral that everybody has seen but are very important to rehash, because Stephen Miller tweeted 2 days before the 2024 election, quote, If young men don't want to be drafted to fight in Kamala and Cheney's third world war, they better get out and vote for Trump. Well, guess what? We're young men.
You're a young man. I'm old.
Now. I'm of drafting age. I basically made a video where I was like, guess what, Stephen Miller?
I'm walking around with a cane right now, Adam. I don't think we're going to the war.
I made a video where I was like, guess what, Stephen Miller? I'm a young man. We're not living under Kamala. We're living under Trump, and we are closer than ever to World War III due to Donald Trump's actions. So he is just lying right there. Charlie Kirk said a year ago, roughly a year ago, obviously before he was assassinated, he said, this is insane. Regime change will result in a bloody civil war, killing hundreds of thousands and creating another massive Muslim refugee crisis. Toppling a leader is never as easy as you think it is. It almost always results in further involvement, a civil war, and chaos. Resist this. And this was about Iran. He does not want there to be regime change. Marjorie Taylor Greene said just minutes ago, the Trump admin actually asked in a poll how many casualties voters were willing to accept in a war with Iran. How about zero, you bunch of sick effing liars? We voted for America first and zero wars. Donald Trump himself tweeted in 2012, now that Obama's poll numbers are in a tailspin, watch for him to launch a strike in Libya or Iran. He is desperate. Then he tweeted out in 2013, remember that I predicted long time ago that President Obama will attack Iran because of his inability to negotiate properly. Not skilled. Sorry, I'm going to keep going through a few more. Stephen Miller sent recently in 2024, Kamala will send your sons to war, he said. J.D. Vance wrote an article for the Wall Street Journal titled Trump's Best Foreign Policy, Not Starting Any Wars. Okay, I'm going to leave it there. That's a lot of good examples of how they flip on such a dime. They just flip.
Again, they don't believe in anything, Adam. They really don't. And if you look at obviously this, where they said, hey, we're not going to create new wars. We're going to focus in on America. And by the way, they're largely abandoning Ukraine, in my opinion, when Ukraine is being invaded by Russia. And that to me is the single most important, maybe not now, because America is the aggressor on the international stage. But winning the war in Ukraine is incredibly important to prevent Russia from ascending, because I don't think America is going to be in a good position if Russia is stronger and has more land control and access to all the resources in Ukraine. By the way, to undermine the fact that there are so many people in Ukraine who are fighting right now. Somebody pointed out in the comments to me that, like, I might not be as young as you, Adam, but if I were in Ukraine, I'd be fighting right now. And you're goddamn right, I would be.
Yeah.
But it's such a disaster. And again, with us becoming the primary antagonists of the world, we're creating a vacuum of leadership that's being filled by others. And like you see Canada sort of acting as the moral leader in the world, speaking out against these things. That speech that Mark Carney gave a few months ago was really great. And I think sort of solidified Canada as a moral leader. But then the flip side of that is the Trump administration destroyed USAID. They have isolated us on these tariffs. And because of that, everybody's cutting deals with China. So China is more ascendant and in control. I would argue that right now, China is the world's leader on the economy, for sure. And so we're getting left behind. Everything's more expensive here. And then, I mean, look, I have a six-year-old son right now. He's at his swim lessons at the moment. I worry that if when he's 18, we have a Republican president, this shit's going to happen again, because every Republican president in my lifetime has both crashed the economy and started an illegal war that's gotten young men and young women killed. And I know that there's a lot of people in the comments here who were talking about this as a distraction from the economy and from Epstein and all that other stuff. And I'm sure that to a certain degree, some of that's true, because we know that Stephen Miller in particular loves this idea of like flooding the zone with as much stuff, but they have nowhere to run. And I think we have to acknowledge in this moment that Trump is out of control. He knows that there's nobody that's going to hold him accountable. And the few times that it does happen, like the Supreme Court holding him accountable on tariffs, he's going to lash out at them. So the big question right now is, what's Congress going to do? Are Democrats in Congress going to force a vote and hold firm and stand up to AIPAC and stand up to the Israeli lobby and say, no, we're not doing this, and start to rein in executive power? I don't know if they will. I don't like what I'm seeing from the Democrats right now. There's lots of good statements, but I want to see some action, and I want to see that action from Chuck and Akeem. And like, I'm not a hater of Chuck and Akeem. I'm not, but I want to see them step up in this moment, because we can't have a president like Trump who can start a war in Iran without congressional authorization. That's literally in the Constitution. That's why we have that thing.
Interestingly enough, the people in Congress that have been able to use the most leverage have not been Hakeem or Chuck Schumer. It's been Ro Khanna and Thomas Massie. Ro Khanna and Thomas Massie were thinking of putting some sort of resolution on the floor to get everybody on the record about Iran, but I guess Trump struck before that could happen. You made a great point about Democrats needing to actually take action, like legitimately take action, yeah, rather than just sending out letters. I am so sick of the style of politics where we send out joint letters and that's apparently enough. Like, maybe that's a starting point. You can send out a letter, but that needs to be the starting point of a whole process where you escalate and gain more leverage. Now, really quickly, make sure you drop a like on the stream, subscribe, support our buddy Mike Nellis, who's recovering and doing some great work out here. And if you're watching this after the fact on YouTube, you can find both of our channels below and subscribe. But you made a really good point a few minutes ago about America First, how this is not America First. And I actually want to take that one step further. There are ways to intervene with other countries that could be America First. I'll say it. I'll say that we could help Ukraine. I think we should be helping fund Ukraine. That would be putting America first, of course. I think that we should help Palestine. They are being starved right now, and there are settlements at the West Bank that are just despicable coming from Israel. But instead, rather than actually putting America first in that manner, we are teaming up with Israel and striking Iran, therefore not putting America first, going farther and farther away from America first. There is a return on investment argument with all of this that Republicans seem to miss. Let's start off with USAID. USAID was $68 billion per year. Now, of course, that's a lot of money. You can look at anything just as the money. Like, let's say I pay my editor, like, let's say I pay him $1,000 per month. It's like, oh no, I'm losing $1,000 per month paying this editor. But the reality is the editor brings a return on that investment. He makes more than that back. So going to USAID, the $68 billion that we send actually saves us trillions of dollars in disease prevention. So there's a return on investment there. The same thing with Ukraine. We send some weaponry, but we save so much money fighting Russia. The same thing with the Palestinians. There's so many ways we can get a return on investment, but instead we are just buddying up with Israel to strike Iran and go further into debt. Just to frame this again around, like, this is actually applies to both of us now. The debt is going to be something that you and I deal with for the rest of our lives. The national debt exploding and exploding. And you know what we're doing is blowing that debt up more so we could blow up countries in the Middle East. It's disgusting.
Well, and make sure that Donald Trump's billionaire buddies have tax cuts. Right? Yep. Like, everybody in the Epstein files gets a tax cut. You and I don't get a tax cut, though, Adam, which, like, just drives me up the fucking wall. I mean, look, I'm far from a dove on foreign policy. Like, I firmly believe that America should have a very strong military. I firmly believe that sometimes we're going to have to use that military in our best interest or to keep our allies safe. And like with Ukraine, I'm about as close as you can find to a Democrat who would tell you I would probably put American troops on the ground.
Yeah.
Necessary. Like, I truly fucking believe it's one of the most important things. And I was very proud of President Biden for the way that he brought the whole West together. Like, the expectation that Ukraine was going to fall from basically every corner of the world, right? The West thought Ukraine was going to fall quickly. The Russia thought they were going to fall. China thought they were going to fall. And they didn't. It's because the West came together. That's a monumental accomplishment by Joe Biden that I don't think we talk enough about. And it's amazing that they're still standing, even as Donald Trump undermines them every single day. With Iran, they've got to they've got to get congressional authorization. They don't have congressional authorization, period. We cannot have an executive that has unlimited power to launch a war whenever he wants. Jill, I'm going to be resting shortly. Don't worry. We're running up on my time. I'm going to be taking my med very soon so I can go rest. But we have to make sure that we have congressional authorization here. We have to be smart about when we use them. We have to make sure it's in the best interest of the American people. Otherwise, we're wasting our money. We're putting our kids on the line. Like, Adam, we're putting people your age on the front lines right now. Like, those are the people who are going to pay the consequence of this. We had an American military base striked. Overnight. And like, I don't know if there's been any casualties from that. We haven't gotten word yet, I don't think.
And it's worth reiterating, Trump himself said in the middle of the night, this is what happens in war. There may be some casualties, which is like, we started this. This is not we're not getting invaded. This is unforced.
Okay. Right. Right. And again, he did the Lord Farquaad meme, which is some of you may die in a sacrifice that I'm willing to make, which, like, fuck you for being so callous. If Donald Trump is a draft dodger, okay, with his bone spurs, he's never served this country. I've never served this country either, but I would not presume to be so callous with sending other people's kids off to war. And again, who benefits in this moment? That's the question you have to ask. Like, when we invaded Iraq, they lied to the American people about weapons of mass destruction. They knew they didn't have them. And who benefited? It was Halliburton. It was Dick Cheney. It was oil companies, right? Same thing with Venezuela oil companies. So who's benefiting right now? Probably oil companies because it's the Middle East. Probably Trump with all the deals that he's making. We've got to ask those questions. And then we have to demand better of the Democratic Party. I don't think that there's anything that the Republicans can do short of straight up putting American military soldiers in front of polling places, and I wouldn't put it past them, but I don't think they can actually do that, to steal the midterm elections. Like, we are going to win the midterm elections. We are absolutely going to do that. And when we do, Democrats have to rein in this executive power. Yeah. We have to rein in this corruption. We have to fix this shit. And we can't just go, hey, it's okay for the executive to have this much power because we trust Obama. Not knocking Obama, but the same authorization that makes Trump feel like he can invade Iran right now is the same thing that let Obama blow people up in Yemen, right? And we were way too comfortable with that. So we need to take this where we're at and, you know, lower the power, like bring power back to Congress. Otherwise, we're going to be in trouble and the next guy will be even worse in how he uses it.
Yep. And I guess I want to end this off by expanding on that and answering a question. It's a really good question that has a really dark answer. So someone asked, what is the enforcement mechanism when the executive branch has gone rogue, right? Which is a really good question. And the problem is Donald Trump and the people around him have very intentionally spent all of their time weakening any enforcement or accountability mechanisms. The most recent one is the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court acts as an accountability mechanism to check what the president does. What happens when the president declares war on the Supreme Court, attacks their families, and then continues with his tariffs and actually increases them? Well, we don't have anything to rein him in. Congress generally checks as acts as a check and balance when it starts. When it pertains to starting wars, Congress has that power. Taxing U.S. citizens, Congress has that power. But again, we have Republicans who are weak and spineless. This is why we need Democrats in power who will actually hold them accountable. There are courts, which Donald Trump ignores and doesn't do that. So it's a really good question. But when Donald Trump got into office, one of the first things he did was get rid of the administrative state, as they call it. They fired a bunch of government workers. So now any enforcement mechanisms we have just aren't there. And actually, to take that a step further, there aren't even enforcement mechanisms. There's only court rulings. Like, courts don't have the ability to enforce things. So if a court does rule against the president, they can't actually enforce that. There's not like police officers of the court that go and enforce something. It's just a ruling that's kind of floating out there. So all of these unspoken norms and mechanisms that we've had have been blown through by Donald Trump. That's why we need Democrats to get into power. We need to pressure them as hard as we can. We need to use our platform every day to pressure them to have asses in chairs. The Trump administration's asses need to be in chairs on January 21st of 2029. And we need to be asking them about the Epstein files, about this, about everything.
Yeah. And I'll add one final thought on that, Adam. And I apologize, everybody. I'm still recovering. So I'm running a little bit out of gas right now. I don't have my normal je ne sais quoi or whatever the phrase would be. The backstop here, if Congress won't do its job, if Trump won't listen to the judiciary, it's going to be all of us. Like, that's just what it is. And it's going to be voting these fuckers out in November, making sure that we elect the right kind of Democrats who understand how to use power. And if the Trump administration doesn't listen, if they don't answer, if they don't acquiesce to the will of the American people on this foreign war, on the economy, on Epstein and everything else, then the answer is going to be pitchforks and torches out front of the White House. Like, I don't know what else it's going to be, but you have to have, it's a two-tiered thing. And Adam, you and I have talked about this before. I'm a Democratic strategist. I'm very much engaged in winning elections, helping to elevate the next generation of Democratic leadership, people like Mallory McMorrow and Peggy Flanagan and Daniel Biss and a bunch of others that I work with. And I think that they're going to be great if and when they win. But the second half of that, which is what we need the 1,800 people who are watching this and the hopefully tens of thousands who watch it later, is you got to go out and protest. You got to make sure that every time that Stephen Miller and Donald Trump and J.D. Vance and the rest of these guys make a decision about what they're going to do, they're thinking about what the crowd, what the angry mob is going to be doing, what you're going to do at that moment, because they need to have the fear of God in them. It's why the No Kings protests are so damn important. When they see millions and millions and millions of Americans take to the streets because they're sick of this shit, it puts the fear of God in them. And it puts the fear of God in members of Congress too. But you have to have that little part of your back of your head, if you're Donald Trump, to know that it's going to get bad if you don't rein it in. And that keeps it in check in the moment.
Yep, very, very well said. And we'll continue to update you all throughout this. We're going to do a live stream next Saturday, and we'll repost this on our YouTube channels, on our Substacks. So make sure you're subscribed to both of our feeds for relentless fact-checking, breaking news updates, and the truth.
Yeah. And everybody, thank you so much. Make sure you hit the heart button on the way out. Make sure you subscribe to Adam's Substack and support both of the work that we're doing. We love you guys. Adam, I'll see you soon.
We'll chat soon. Peace out, brother.
Thanks, everybody.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers, and $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.